What is up, my fellow side hustlers? This is your friend and host, Ryan Helms. I want to welcome you to the Hustle to Freedom podcast. I'm part of a small minority that are taking action because we just aren't satisfied with waking up, going to a 9-to-5 job, then coming home only to repeat it again the next day and never make any real progress in life. We're here to create our own path, our own happiness, our own freedom. Busy lives with limited resources mean we can't just throw stuff against the wall and hope that something sticks. We have to play smart and use only today's best strategies and most efficient tools. We aren't going to sit back and hope for a 3% raise each year. We are building additional income sources that will allow us to create the life we want. We call ourselves Freedom Chasers. And this podcast highlights the journeys of these everyday people who are creating extraordinary side hustles. Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast. If you are enjoying these episodes, listen until the end or check out the show notes to hear four ways in which you can support this podcast to keep it ad-free. In this episode, I'm chatting with Danielle Roberts, and this episode's a little bit different today because normally we have two criteria for guests on the Hustle to Freedom podcast. It's either you're still working your day job and you have an income-generating side hustle that's making probably about more than $5,000, or you've recently taken that side hustle full-time within the past 5 years. So that's typically the type of people that we're talking to. But today, Danielle is a little bit different because her side hustle was back in 2004, 2005 time period, and she started selling insurance. In this episode, we're going to chat about how she took selling insurance at night after work to a business that in the past 13 years has grown to more than 50 employees in a multi-million dollar business. So let's not waste any more time and jump into this awesome side hustle story with Danielle.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm totally excited to be here with you guys. I am Danielle Kunkel Roberts. I'm the co-founder of Boomer Benefits. We are a licensed insurance agency that helps baby boomers when they enter Medicare to kind of navigate Medicare, figure it out, and then we set them up on their supplemental options. And I actually started the business back in 2005. I had been working full-time for many years in the staffing industry. And if you know anything about that industry, you're dealing with a very unreliable product, which are people. So you book people on jobs and you have them all set up and ready to go. And then they no-show or they file workers' comp or, you know, something happens and you're scrambling for more people to backfill those positions. So I had been doing that a long time and I really had an interest in sales, but I didn't want to sell staffing because I saw what the salespeople in that industry did trying to appease the clients when people didn't work out or didn't show up. And so I was just kind of looking for something else that I might be able to start and something that I could start on a part-time basis so that I could work my way in. And I got actually invited to a girlfriend of mine was getting her insurance license and she went to sort of a group interview for a company that was bringing on and training brand new agents. And I sort of went for moral support with her and then ended up absolutely loving the opportunity. So I went back to my employer and negotiated myself a part-time job so that I could step into this side hustle and eventually make it a career. And now 13 years later, we're servicing 47 states. I've got almost 50 employees and it's been a really fun ride.
So the business you have now, is your co-founder the same person you went to that with?
I actually did start with two other people in the beginning and this I would not recommend. So if you ever partner with someone out of, you know, I think for me being a brand new business owner, there's so much uncertainty and you have a little less confidence in yourself. So I partnered up with two people that I really didn't know all that well. And quickly found out that I was the one doing most of the sales and we had differences about how much of the income we wanted to invest back in. I really wanted to grow. And I wanted to take all that profit and invest it in back into the business and see the business grow. But I had this little part-time income. And when I say part-time, I think my little salary for that was $25,000 a year. So things were a little lean for that first year, certainly. So that didn't work out with those two partners. And I actually bought them out and then contacted my brother, who was in Michigan selling mortgages by phone, which is a brutal, hard, cold calling kind of job, and said, hey, why don't you come do this with me? You know, this is a really great industry and I'm having a lot of success with it. And I think I would love to have a partner that has the same work ethic as me. And we were entrepreneurial kids. We used to walk on our neighborhood and knock on doors and offer to wash people's car and anything we could do to save a little money. And so he was totally down with it and came down and joined with business in 2006. So we're still running it together today.
That's awesome. So for those that may not be super familiar, like what's the business model of like what you guys were doing in the beginning and has it evolved since then?
Yeah. So one thing about working in the insurance industry is it's super friendly to start small. A lot of people will go out and get an insurance license and there's lots of different licenses that you can choose. I chose life and health. And this is something that you can start off with selling your inner circle. You know, if you sell life insurance, pretty much everyone needs to have that. So you can talk to your family and your friends. And then, you know, you could either invest some cash of your own to buy leads and grow your business, or you could bootstrap it, which is exactly what we did. So in the early years, those first 2 years, I used to go to little business parks here in the DFW area. And I would front door cold call these businesses and leave them my card and offer to quote their group health insurance. So when their annual renewal on their group health insurance came around, you know, I was leaving my card with them and they could reach out to me and call me and have us quote it. And I had quite a bit of success that way. Of course, it's a really hard way to start out, but I didn't have additional money to put into the business right at that time. So I just chose to do it with good old elbow grease. And one thing that happened was when we would have these people call us back and have us quote them, sometimes the business owner didn't want to be on the group plan. He did his insurance separately. Or he would have employees that maybe couldn't afford to be on the group plan and wanted quotes individually. So we started writing a lot of individual health insurance. And then people were asking me about their parents because their parents were turning 65 and they felt like Medicare was way more confusing than the product that I was selling them for their own health insurance. And that's how we ended up making the segue into Medicare, just because we had people asking for it. So the great thing about this kind of job is when you're looking at a business to start, and I'm sure a lot of people that are looking to start something on the side consider this, but you know, you can find jobs that would be difficult where you've got to stock a lot of inventory and you could have products that food or something that would spoil. And the great thing about insurance that I feel makes it such a great side hustle is you have an idea backed by a guarantee and there's nothing that can spoil or go bad. You can put as much into it or as little. I know agents today that work 15 hours a week and you know, make 40 grand a year and they don't ever want to work any harder than that. And they certainly can do that. And then there's people like myself that have kind of turned it into a career and gone at it full force.
That's awesome. So is it a commission base? So when you sell, and I don't even know if sell is the right word, when someone purchases a policy from you, an insurance policy, is that like a commission that you get on some type of recurring basis?
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of times, and this is true in health and life insurance at least, you make a commission for selling the product. And then for as long as that policy stays on the book, you earn something called renewals. So when you sell a life insurance policy, you can advance your first year commission. And then the second year, it pays less, but it still pays a percentage. And so for many years after that, that policy continues to pay you. So you can think of yourself being out there and you're just kind of layering on policies on top of policies. And when you sell a health insurance policy, you might earn a percentage of that policy and that client could be with you for 10, 12, 15 years and you're still being paid on that policy that you did the work on a long, long time ago. And there is a little bit of servicing involved. Like you may have somebody that calls you about a bill that they don't understand or some things like that happen in health insurance a lot more than they do in life. So there would be a little bit of service aspect to it, but you can work really hard in the beginning and build up a great base that you're earning regular commissions on. And then if you wanted to, just kind of coast for a while and let those policies pay you and maybe just write a little bit of business to replace what falls off naturally, you can absolutely do that.
So how did you get, you mentioned in the beginning, you know, you were in the staffing industry and then you moved into the insurance industry and you had that interest in sales. Like, how did you get good at selling, saying that you hadn't did it before? And I ask because, you know, in the business, the side hustle that we have right now, the agency, podcasting agency, selling is like my weak point. Like I'm fine talking to people, but you know, the selling and the, for lack of a better word, convincing them on the product, which is for us a service to purchase, that's the challenging part for me. Sure. So how did you get good at selling?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know that anyone's asked me that before. And if I think back on it, I guess I was probably always a little bit of a salesperson from being sort of an entrepreneurial kid and trying to find ways to make money. But for me, especially in this industry, you just have to be likable and trustworthy. And so it's a product that people need, and I believe in the product, and I know that it can provide something good for them. And you develop a little bit of a thick skin after a while, because you're certainly going to have a lot of no's. You can go to any sales training and they'll tell you, you know, you got to make 10 calls and you'll get 9 no's and then you get a yes. And that really is true to a certain degree in this insurance field as well. But something that really works is just being the lowest barrier to entry. You know, there's lots of other agents out there that would be maybe really pushy, are going to telemarket you like crazy. And I just have always taken a little bit different, a softer approach, sort of your girl next door attitude, and made people realize that I've got this product. And hey, when you're ready, we've talked about it now, you give me a call when you're ready. And that strategy has always worked really well for me. I have used a technique in the past in those early days when I was banging on doors. That's really brutal kind of cold calling and going out, and people would, you know, be like, I don't need any group of health insurance, I'm not interested. And I can remember back in the very early days thinking to myself, I'm just an actress and I'm playing a person that's cold calling businesses. and I would remind myself that even though I would be rejected when I walk out of that door, if someone was rude to me or they didn't want to talk to me, I would remind myself that in 3 minutes, they were going to forget all about me. I might carry that wound with me for the rest of the day and nurse it a little bit. But as far as that person, you know, they were just shooing me out the door and they weren't going to think twice about it. So approaching it from that mindset, I think really helps in the beginning when you're still getting your feet wet in terms of, you know, I've got to make this sale and I want to sell, but I want to be too salesy.
Yeah, for sure. Any like resources or anything that you can remember that helped you over the years, like books or anything like that? Or was it all just kind of, you know, that natural instinct in you that kind of carried you through?
I'm really into reading and learning. And I know you do this as well. I've heard you mention it before. It's, if you're educating yourself and you're always looking for opportunities for someone who's been doing this longer than you to give you some advice. So one of the things I did in the very beginning is I was looking online to see if I could find anybody had written a book or something about selling insurance. And at that time, there was really very little out there, but I found a resource there's a group in the life insurance industry called the Million Dollar Roundtable. And it has to do with how many millions of dollars in premium that you sell every year that the clients are paying. And they had a series of books, and I went online and I bought a used copy of their books. And it was all these agents who had been doing this for years, just telling like the hardest sale they ever made, you know, how they started, what did they do their first year, what are they doing now that's different. And there was a lot of great wisdom and advice in there. And then of course, now technology is completely different and you have podcasts and you can listen online and to really great leaders out there, you know, Tony Robbins. I listened to Amy Porterfield's podcast about online marketing made easy and the whole marketing aspect. You can gain a lot of information from people that have been doing this longer than you. And so those kind of resources, if you just plug them into your phone and go find some good podcasts about that, you would be amazed how much you can learn just in your car driving to and from work from people that have been marketing and selling longer than you have. And when you see and feel the success that they're having, just like I could see and feel that in those books that I read way back in the day, it really does sort of light that fire under you. And it helps you remember that it's not always going to be this hard. Eventually, this will become a business that's totally sustainable. And now I think it's funny, you know, those were some pretty hard years, but now that we're big and we have so many employees and there's a million things on my plate every day, sometimes I kind of look back on those early years really fondly. When I was just first growing the business, it's a really exciting time and you've got that glimmer in your eye and you're trying something new and you're going to make a go of it. And it's just it's a fun time. And I look back on it very fondly.
So you mentioned like going out and finding people that have kind of done what you wanting to do and like modeling the great leaders and things like that. And you've had to become a leader in your company as it's grown from just you and your brother to almost, I think it's 50 people now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So when did you decide to make your first hire? What type of position was that? And what drove you to bring somebody on?
So it was just Dave and I for 5 years, and we were doing some of the front door cold calling kind of sales. And then eventually we invested our profits into buying internet leads. So these are people that are going online and, you know, searching for health insurance or life insurance, and the websites capture that information and sell them to agents like us. And you can buy them. And, you know, if you buy 10 and you sell one, you're going to be doing well. And we got to a point about 5 years in, it was probably around 2010, when I can remember there's an annual election period in Medicare that happens in the fall when all the seniors can make their drug plans. And it's the busiest time of year for agents in my industry. And I can remember leaving the office at like 11:30 at night. Like, it was dark out. And my brother's walking me to my car, and we were just exhausted. We were burning the candle at both ends. And after that season ended, I said, we've got to get somebody out in here, and we can either hire a couple of administrative people and then you and I can concentrate on selling, or we can duplicate ourselves and, you know, grow the sales. And he wanted to grow the business. So it just so happened that for those several years, all those years, I was still doing my original job that I had negotiated, that part-time job. I did that for about 5 or 6 years still while I was building my business.
Wow.
And I went in one day to drop off some paperwork, and one of the salespeople was in there and she was crying, and she had been an assistant of mine years before. And she was just telling me how hard it was and she wasn't happy. And I just told her, so sorry this happened to you. I'm going to give you my card. If you ever decide that this isn't for you and you leave, give me a call. And so a few months later, she did. And she wanted to come and enter the insurance industry with us. And she herself went from a six-figure paycheck to making beans working for us in the beginning. But now today she's our sales director and doing very well and managing a sales force of, I think, 15 or 16 people out there in her team.
That is awesome. What a cool story. What do you think is the one thing that contributed to you guys going from, you know, those first couple hires to being at almost 50 people? Is there anything that really moved the needle and caused that kind of exponential growth from, you know, 2010 to where we're at now going into 2019?
Yes, definitely. So in the beginning, we would be running a lot of these appointments in person. And so I would be driving out from here to Timbuktu, meeting people and selling them across the kitchen table. And a lot of the old timers in the insurance industry told me, you know, seniors don't use the internet. You'll never be able to sell this on the phone. They got to see it in front of them. And I think I subscribed to that for the first 2 or 3 years because I these are old timers in the business and had a lot of respect for them, and they were successful, and I felt like I needed to do it that way. But it started to occur to me that everybody else buys insurance online. I bought my own homeowner's insurance and auto insurance online. My life insurance policy that I had before I became an agent, I had bought online. And I thought, this is just crazy. Of course people will buy this online, and we're going to build a website. So we bought a website and we started optimizing it. And I went to the University of Texas in Arlington and took an HTML class. And I learned the old school way, how to build this thing from the ground up. And then I was taking online training classes about search engine optimization. And I learned how to rank the website. So all that means is when you're typing in Medicare supplement insurance, you want to be on the first page of listings that come up. People can find you. And so when we made that shift from buying other people's leads to generating our own, which was driving traffic to our website and then people putting their information on our site, then the only person calling them back is our agent. Whereas when you're buying the ones that another site sells, they may sell that same lead to 8 different agents, and you're competing against all those agents for that business. And you can definitely do that and be successful. We certainly were, by just being the nicest and friendliest and most knowledgeable people on the phone. But when we made that investment into the digital marketing and got those people to come to our website, that is really what lit the business on fire. And from there, it just grew so rapidly because we had Crystal in here and she was training new salespeople, basically just duplicating herself and myself, teaching them everything we knew about selling on the phone. And then we just slowly phased out that part of the business where we were running the appointments. And so if there's any way that you can make those sales and have it not be an in-person sale, you certainly are going to just amplify your volume because you can do so much more when you're not spending all that time driving around.
Yeah, for sure. It was at boomerbenefits.com that you got right from the beginning?
Yeah, our actual company name is something different. And we started talking about that it was just a really generic name and nobody knew what that was. And we would call people and people would hang up on us thinking that we were like a research or survey firm. And so we talked about a name that we wanted to do a DBA and we came up with Boomer Benefits because that's who's aging into Medicare here for the next 15 years, our baby boomers. And I had to buy that domain. I bought it from a company called Huge Domains. They had it for sale. And I want to say it was a little over $1,000. It was pretty expensive. But that definitely has been a brand that we've totally been able to grow because baby boomers remember that. The company that has boomer in the word of their, the name of their company.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So can you talk a little bit about the experience that somebody has once they hit the website? Like what's the objective when someone goes on Google, searches about benefits, for people that are baby boomers, they find your site. What's the intention of taking them through? So I was looking at the site earlier and, a lot of what you guys do, like the servicing the clients, like you were talking about earlier, that is kind of like bundled as a free service for you guys. And I guess the offer where you make your money is on the policy side. So can you kind of take us through like the journey of someone when they come in your ecosystem through the site? What does that look like?
You bet. So something I figured out pretty early on is that when people are first starting to search about this, they're nowhere near ready to buy. So when you are working your whole life for someone else, and your employer picks your insurance for you, and you might have two plans to choose from, maybe a PPO and an HMO, or maybe a couple of different deductibles, but pretty much your employer says, hey, here's your insurance. And you pay your piece of it out of the paycheck, your payroll check, and that's it. Well, when you become 65, you enter a national health insurance program, which you've never been on before. It has four parts, 10 standardized supplement options, and literally dozens of drug plan options in every state. And you are so quickly overwhelmed at how different this coverage is from anything you've ever known. It's completely bewildering and overwhelming. And so if you start a business and you can key in on the piece that's missing when someone's thinking about your product, and what was missing for this particular demographic is nobody was explaining to them how their original Medicare benefits work, let alone the supplement that you want to sell them. If you go in and straight with the supplement information, you're going to lose that person pretty quick. So on our website, we have just a ton of great information about how Medicare works, what it costs, what it covers. There's videos that they can watch. So if their person is a reader, great. If they'd rather learn it by watching me on YouTube, they can do it that way. We created a couple of free courses and a webinar so that people could just come in and learn in this completely no pressure environment. So when they get to the website, they're able to do all the research that they want to do. But at the bottom of every page, there's a call to action button. And on the right hand navigation, there's a scrolling form where you can get help. And so they may hit our website. We've looked at some of the statistics on this, and they may hit that website 3, 4, 5 times over a 3 to 5 month period before they actually pull the trigger and become a lead. And so our site is just really built around educating people on the product so that they really understand all the ins and outs. And then as they're doing that, we have all these stories worked in about our service service team and the problems that they solve for people. Because something in the insurance industry is anybody can sell you a policy, and then when you have a problem, tell you, oh, we'll call the 1-800 number on the back of your insurance card. And that might work for a life insurance policy or someone under 65 health insurance. But with over 65 insurance and a government program, it's a whole different ball of wax. And so when they run into these normal little hiccups, it's bewildering and devastating for them. And we realized that we could have a team here that just handled that for them, when this would be a great sales angle to go in with, that, hey, you can sign up anywhere you want to. It's going to cost you the same no matter where you go. But when you're here, this is what you're going to get from our team. And so if you're reading on the site, you'll notice when you go through it that there's little stories interspersed all throughout the pages about real client examples of things that our clients have had to deal with that our team has been able to solve for them at no cost. And this is another thing that we did, was to invest in an online review program. And then we ask our clients when we close them, hey, can you go online and give us a review? And they're in there telling those stories. Hey, I got this $1,200 bill in the mail and I was freaked out, and I called Boomer Benefits and spoke with Amanda, and 15 minutes later, she fixed it and I don't know anything. And those kind of testimonials in your reviews can really help too with just catapulting the number of leads that you can pull in on your website.
So it sounds like you're doing a lot of really cool things on the site. You must have took some notes from the podcast you were listening to.
I think I probably did a whole lot of notes on that stuff. There's so much to learn.
That's awesome. It's cool to hear you implementing what you've learned, and in that it's helping grow your company. So I want to switch gears just a little bit here. Knowing that you interact with a lot of people later in life, elder people, and some of those people probably are not in the best financial situations when they get to you. You were kind of talking about this a little bit before we started recording, how people don't save enough for retirement, and you know, they wish they could have started sooner and things like that. So like, what, based on the interactions you've had with these people and the stories you've heard them, and maybe the wishes that they wish they would have done, what's like some best practices on how like a side hustle could help someone, whether they're, you know, 55, 65, or 25, like what should someone be doing in your eyes with the money they make on the side?
I love, love, love this question, because we see the people who turn 65 and they had no idea that Medicare isn't free. So all your working life, you have this tax coming out of your paycheck, and you know that this is going to pay for Medicare. Well, it only pays for one piece of Medicare. It pays for your hospital benefits. But when you turn 65, you have to pay for your monthly outpatient and drug benefits. And then Medicare only covers about 80% of your costs. So you need supplemental insurance unless you think you can afford 20% of a knee surgery or chemotherapy. And all of these costs, I've seen a number of people over the years just absolutely devastated when they find out. And we've seen people who were totally set and ready to retire, who then say, you know what, I'm not going to sign up for this right now. I'm going to need to work for another 5 years. And they're devastated because they're ready to get this party on the road with their retirement and look forward to their golden years. So I think that starting a side hustle is such a great thing that you can do earlier in life. Insurance is one great way that you can do it, but you yourself have had a great side hustle. There's lots of different opportunities out there. And if you were to be able to just commit to, let's say you have a side hustle and it earns you $200 a month even, but you take that and you apply that against your mortgage, or like you said in one of your episodes about marking off the little boxes as you go, yeah, and you can see your progress. Well, when you get to age 65, if you haven't been able to save a lot because maybe you were putting the kids through college or you had other things going on like that, but all that time you plugged away at your mortgage and now you're 65 and you're mortgage free, there's a huge potential with that, because if you have to live on just Social Security, which the average Social Security check is about $1,400 a month. Now you tell me how many people can live on that. You may have two people in your family, so you've got a spouse and you're both earning that and you can barely make ends meet. Well, when you don't have a rent to pay, that's huge. That really puts you in a different position. Yep. Or likewise, if you know, you just took that little bit of extra money and you just put it in an investment, you did dollar cost averaging where every single month, month in and month out, you took that side hustle income and you put it into an investment, maybe moderate risk, the compounding on that from the time that you start in your 20, 25 is enormous by the time you get to retire. And what I have seen is anything helps. So even if you don't have, you're not retiring with $500,000 in the bank, my seniors that have $100,000 in the bank are in such a much better position than the ones that are looking at this and they have only the Social Security. And then they find out that that $1,400 check could be a lot less for some people, depending on what kind of earnings they had during their work history. Well, at least 15% of that right off the top is going to go toward paying for your healthcare costs in retirement. And now you need to pay your mortgage and you need to pay for your groceries and you need to pay for your medications. And that just adds up so quickly. So any little bit that you can put away for yourself earlier in your life is totally worth it. I've got one client, she's a freelance writer and she writes 4 or 5 articles a month and she does it on a website called Upwork. So that's what she does and it earns her a few $100 extra a month. And it's the difference between her having to rob Peter to pay Paul when at the end of the month, she's got a credit card bill and a grocery bill and rent to pay.
Yeah. I mean, it's so huge being able to just make some type of little bit of extra money, you know, no matter how small or big it is and put it towards these things. Like I'm a huge like risk adverse person. So like for me, that's why I've been like attacking my mortgage like crazy. Yeah. It's like I don't want like that hanging over my head. And, you know, I was actually just looking at the spreadsheet today because I like I'm a very visual person. Like I have a thing hanging on the door that the chart I color in. I've got like a spreadsheet with charts in it. And, you know, we're still on track to pay off the mortgage this November. And like now that we're getting so close, it's like knowing that it's almost real. It's kind of so exciting. And knowing that, you know, once that's gone, not having any debt, it opens you up to like so many possibilities.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I was talking about it on a recent episode on how you don't take risk in life because you have like all these like commitments and you have these mortgages. It's like if I think I used the example, like if you got like a 3% raise, but you really thought you deserved 6, you probably wouldn't ask for that extra 3% because you were scared they may fire you or something. But if you don't have any of that debt, you're not so worried about the, you know, the ramifications because you're set, right? You're good to go. You've got everything paid off. And it's unfortunate to hear that a lot of people, probably a very, very high percentage of people, don't think that way and don't put themselves in a position earlier in life to take advantage and actually live life and not be stuck working till they're 65 and then not have any money then either.
Yeah, it's such a great point. It really frees you up because that stress that you carry with you from having a heavy duty mortgage payment and from I can just imagine if you're heading into retirement and you refinance your loan a couple of times and you still got 15 years to pay on that note, the level of stress that adds to you, the sooner that you pay off that debt and, you know, that and any other type of debt, the better. You know, start with your smallest debts first and work on snowball approach, paying them off one at a time, and then get to that mortgage. Because once that thing is out of there, just think about what a great holiday season you're going to have once you pay that mortgage off in November. You're going to be like, woohoo. I mean, you'll be in this completely free place. And you're right. You might be more inclined to say to your boss, hey, you know, I think I deserve a few more dollars because, you know, you've had this one major bill off your plate. And if something happened tomorrow and now you don't have your job, you're not in the same kind of sticky position that you would be because your house is paid for.
Yeah. And what if you've got this side hustle that's making good money, but the thing that's really holding you back is the fact that you can't devote enough time to it? Well, if you don't have any debt hanging over your head, then you could take that risk. Maybe you can dive into it and say, okay, I'm going to give this a year and see if I can actually make it happen. So I think it really just frees you up to take some of those risks in life.
Certainly does. Yeah. And what an exciting thing. Like, just think how fun that will be for all of the listeners who get to that point and get to try that and actually live it.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you guys see your business going over the next year or two?
Well, my brother and I talk about this on almost a weekly basis. We've really had a really great year this last year and we're just enjoying the business so much. And it's very traditional in this industry to build up an agency like this to a certain level and then sell it to a bigger corporation. And that's certainly something we could do. We have people inquire with us quite often. But right now, we're just having so much fun. And the other piece of it is, we were talking with our attorney about this because he always asked that same question. The other piece is there's an obligation that you feel to your clients, your people. You know, I've got a Facebook group and I interact with our clients all the time. And I worry that if we were to sell the business that they would not offer the same service piece after we're gone. So I think for at least the foreseeable future, I don't see us exiting. We're just going to grow. I'm trying to talk my brother out of tripling the office space because he's always this big thinker. He's a total visionary and he wants to go for the world. And I'm the much more conservative one. Like, let's just make sure we have a little bit bigger office and then we're good. We can, we can stay at this level. We don't really need to keep growing. But we will probably, our lease is up at the end of summer this year and we'll need more space. So we plan to get a bigger building and we're just going to keep growing at a steady pace, I think, for at least the next 5 to 10 years.
That's awesome. What an awesome story to have. I forgot to ask, like, how do you guys split up the roles? Like, what's your role versus his in the company?
Yeah, so we're very lucky in that we're completely, totally different people. So when I was in high school, I was an English nerd. I got A's on all my papers. I went to college and got a degree in journalism and English. I was great at it. And then when Dave went to school, he would send me his essays and I would edit them for him and send them back. This was in the snail mail days. This was before email.
Oh, wow.
So he would write his papers earlier. And I would mail them back to him. It was awesome. And the exact opposite is true. I can remember being a senior in high school and he was in eighth grade and he would help me with my calculus homework. So you have these completely different personalities. He manages the sales force. He does all the contracting with the insurance companies, the licensing, the technology. When we move the office, he'll handle all of the setup and the moving of the cubicles and ordering all the equipment. And he does the IT. And on my side, I handle all the administrative. So your back end, HR, payroll, all those things. And then all of the marketing. He has zero to do with marketing and couldn't care less about it. As long as we have leads coming in, he's happy with that. So we've been able to take these two completely different past, but we do make every major decision together. His office is right next to mine. And, you know, when there's a staffing problem or we've got an issue with an employee or we've got an upset client, you know, we're able to make decisions together and all the big decisions too, because when you get to our agency size, there's contracting levels of insurance that you deal with on the carrier side that are really his forte. But sometimes we have to make decisions about where we're going to put business or who we're going to write business with. And we make those big decisions together.
That's awesome. So I've got one more question for you. So it'll be one that we'll see how you take it. So did you think you could actually build a company like this? And I ask because I think you have a lot of people listening right now that have limiting beliefs in the beginning where they're right now going through their head, hearing your story. They're like, oh, I'd love to build a business, but, you know, I'm not smart enough or I don't know enough about sales or marketing or entrepreneurship or this. So in the beginning, did you have any limiting beliefs about your abilities to grow your company and how big it could be?
Absolutely. I was terrified to start a company. That's why I partnered up with other people and quickly made a disaster out of that. And, you know, you're going to fail a lot of times. And that's just learning what the right thing is. So if it had just been me and I hadn't asked my brother to come down and do this with me, I probably would have a little 4-person agency and I'd be still making the sales and I'd have maybe a receptionist and an admin and another salesperson. And I would have had this totally small vision for myself, but my brother has a completely different vision and was ready to go for broke. And after discussing it with him and kind of disagreed about this in the early days, he brought me around to kind of what do we have to lose? You know, we didn't take on any big investors. We didn't take on a lot of debt. You know, we donated our time. And this is something that anyone who's starting a side hustle would benefit from knowing, which is you are your own best resource because you can put in time and it doesn't cost you anything. You can put in energy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost you anything monetary. So you might think that you don't have that in you. And maybe for you, your side hustle is going to be something just like my client that does freelancing. It could be something that you just do just you and you don't ever have to actually own a company. If you think of those things being a headache, you could just take it however as far as you want. But you might be surprised when you start just how addictive the entrepreneurial thing is, because you're taking this little tiny thing and you're breathing life into it and you're making it grow into something beyond just you. And it's such a rush and so exciting when you get a client that tells you something good and they happy with your service, or you hit a new sales record, or you hire a fabulous employee, and all those little wins that you have along the way will more than make up for those days where you think you just couldn't do it. And I absolutely had those in the beginning. I can remember feeling like, you know, two people went back to work and canceled their individual policies, and I just thought the world was going to end. It worked so hard to get those on the books. And that's fine, because you've got other policies that are paying a renewal, and tomorrow is a new day, and it's going to be the same in any side hustle that your listeners try. You know, you'll have some days where you feel defeated, and you'll have days that just rock your world. And I can guarantee you that those good days will provide you all you need to get through the hard times, because it's a really exciting thing to build a company like this.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So where, if people are interested in like the insurance industry as a whole, maybe a side hustle they'd like to get into, where could they learn more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us online at boomerbenefits.com. You can check out our website and learn a little bit more about us. I don't recruit agents, so you could message me on Facebook or send a note through the website and ask a question. I'd be more than happy to answer it. I think insurance is such a great side hustle, and a lot of people overlook it. It's kind of a dry topic. You know, nobody in high school says your guidance counselor says what you want to be someday when you grow up. Nobody says insurance agent unless their dad owns an insurance company. But it is a really stable field with a product, like I said, that does nourish, that you could do on the side that doesn't start up. If you want to put in your blood, sweat, and tears and grow it that way, you absolutely can. Feel free to message me on LinkedIn. You can find me at Danielle Kunkel, or you can find us on Twitter, Instagram at Boomer Benefits. And then the website is boomerbenefits.com.
Awesome, Danielle. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and the Hustle Freedom audience. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll talk soon.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So, if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.